I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Tommy Tiernan podcast. And today I want to talk about wilderness. My imagination is heavily influenced by Christian mythology. If I was born and reared in Iraq or Alice Springs or Edinburgh, maybe I would have a different outlook on the world. But growing up where I did, the mythological stories that I was given were, a lot of them were Christian. I mean, there was Jack and the Beanstalk and the Three Little Pigs, and there's mystery in them as well. And I was thinking recently about the Christian notion of wilderness and how Christ came out of the wilderness. It was after that he began his ministry. John the Baptist lived and worked in the wilderness. Neither of them came out of a theological school. They weren't professors of divinity. They didn't belong to the church with its readings and its rituals. They took the church with them into the desert, destroyed it, and came back with a new church. And they would say that they fulfilled all the promises that were made in the old church, in the Old Testament. Very taken by the story of Daniel, who, the only thing I remember about him, one of those primary school stories where he goes into the lion's den. I mean, these wild, ferocious, man-eaten, savage creatures. But they smell something off him, you know. I think if he'd have gone into a cage full of chimps, that they would have fucking killed him. But there was something about the lions where they smelt something. So you have this idea of grace meeting the wilderness and grace coming out of the wilderness. So the grace of Daniel going into the wild animals and them. I'm not saying that the lions didn't genuflect and say a decade of the rosary, but in the way that animals can smell something off people, they got a bang of God off them. Like, Daniel brought grace into wild instinct, and wild instinct acknowledged it. Christ and John the Baptist brought grace out of the wilderness. We have very few encounters with wilderness these days. It's mainly personality based. Like, you know, if you're talking to a friend of yours, John, and John says, "Jeez, I rode Hilda last Friday night. Oh, what was she like? She's fucking wild." Now, your imagination would immediately, mine would anyway, go to hot candle wax dripping on your nipples and all that type of stuff. And I wouldn't say you'd emerge from a night with Hilda without a few bite marks and a couple of scratches. And, you know, it's a sense of wildness that it's a little bit dangerous, but not really. if Mary and Susan were talking, and Susan says, "Jeez, I rode Jonathan last week. What was he like? He's a bit fucking wild." To me, then, that would suggest that Jonathan, maybe halfway through the ride, asked Susan could he wear her underpants or try on some of her mascara. But that's wildness in a kind of a human context. I was in a bar one time up in Cavan, and a fella asked me to buy him a drink, but the barman wouldn't let me. "He's not to be served in here," the barman said. And I turned back to your man, and he looked at me, and in the calmest way said, "I'm as wild as hatchets." Like, that's fucking savage, isn't it? Hatchet wild. Like, there's no fucking civilization in hatchets. You can hear them screaming. The wonderful philosopher, poet, farmer, storyteller, Kerryman, John Moriarty, wrote a poem when he was in his 20s that finished with the line, "I have long ago opened my mind to God's horses." And you get some sense in that image of divine wildness, divine horse-sized instinct galloping between the walls of your skull. Our encounters with the wild now they're thrilling, but and we are surrounded by a type of wildness. Like, mice are wild, crows are wild, but they live in and around civilization and the domestic scene. Years ago, maybe 15, 20, 30 years ago, do you remember the thrill you used to get when you saw a fox? Now, of course, foxes, they live in housing estates in Dublin and, you know, always just kind of traipsing around. But there's a thrill you get when you encounter something that is wild from a wild situation. Like, you know, if you've ever seen an eagle, it calls to something in you, doesn't it? Something inside you flutters when an eagle looks at you. And I think one of the reasons why we respond positively and thrillingly to wildness in a natural context is because it's part of us. You know, a lion is roaring for you. It's not agin you. Like, it's not something that's in opposition to you. Something in you flourishes at great cost, perhaps sometimes, to your domestic situation and your civilized personality. But something, if we can acknowledge our wildness, acknowledge it without becoming a victim to it. And you know that great quote that nature is red in tooth and claw. So death is the risk you run. Not only your own death, but the damage that you might cause to other people. And not just your own physical death, but your wildness might cause the death of relationship. there's a price to be paid for everything. And the price to be paid for civilization is that some manners have to be put on your instincts. You know, the savage has to go to mass. And I think what I'm talking about is fluency with instinct. That I sometimes look at the cat, you know, and he doesn't read the Bible or doesn't have an awareness of his own sinful nature. And he just kind of, he does whatever, you know, if it's bringing in a half-dead mouse or a decapitated robin, that's what he does. You know, the dogs are a little bit different. You know, the dogs do have a sense of obedience. And I think about that with myself as well, that fluency with instinct and learning to live with desires and notions and energies within yourself without causing havoc to your surroundings, because you have to live in harmony with other people. But I don't think the fluency comes through repression. I don't think that trying to banish all thoughts and, you know, that doesn't work. But there's something about almost living them internally, not as a kind of a, to be always fantasizing about X, Y, and Z. Dangerous fantasies. You know, fantasies that are selfish and destructive. So it's not about always daydreaming about, oh, I wish I could, or I wish I could. But it's almost like you acknowledge the instinct, and then it relaxes. Do that great thing from the Bible, I think it says somewhere, and the lion shall lie down with the lamb. And according to Woody Allen, he says here, yes, but the lamb won't get much sleep. But it's that idea that once something is acknowledged, that it's allowed be without being allowed take control. Isn't there some great quote of Nietzsche or something? I have discovered for myself that the old animal mind, every instinct that ever was, dinosaur mind, leopard mind, hatchet mind, all still exist within me. Now, that's not the way that he said it, but it was something along the lines of that instead of looking out in the world, he turned his eyes back into himself, and he discovered that every instinct that any creature ever had since the beginning of the beautiful world still exists in him. So from an evolutionary point of view, that we carry all previous evolutions with us in the human brain, in the cerebral cortex. It's another Moriarty notion that the human brain and the human central nervous system consists of layers and layers and layers and layers of evolution. And he would also suggest that the Christ consciousness is the final step in evolution. So rather than Christianity being opposed to evolution, that evolution finds its final fulfillment, that the place where evolution is ultimately going is to that enlightened, Christ-like, in terms of the Christian story, consciousness. But that everything that ever was, every tiger, every lizard, every killer chicken, every pterodactyl, every snail, every serpent, every whale, every butterfly, every insect, every dog, every dodo, that these consciousnessness are all, that's what makes us extraordinary as beings. That's what makes us respond. Something in us gets awoken, livened up at a lion's roar. So how are you supposed to cope with all these different energies inside you? Some people need solitude, you know. Some people need to fuck off into a cliff.
Some people avoid other people.
Some people get medicated. Some people wear a tourniquet. Some people meditate for 14 hours a day. Some people do adrenaline sports. Some people drink. Do you know that awful quote? Most men lead lives of quiet desperation. You know, that you're kind of killing, that survival is about muting any energy. Not about allowing it to express itself internally without a flicker of movement in your body, but repressing it. And some people live lives of complete and utter distraction, hopping from one buzz to the next. And people who look inwards and try to see themselves as they are will tell you that there isn't a crime committed that they're not capable of. And that's a frightening thing, because it's very enjoyable for us to castigate criminals as the other. You know, they're not really human. So I've always had a problem with the phrase crimes against humanity. You know, it just means that a human can't commit a crime against humanity. If you have a narrow view of what humanity is capable of and every act outside of that, then you can say, oh, that's inhuman, but we're all capable of all crimes. That doesn't mean that we're likely to do it. It might be impossible for us, thank God, to cross certain lines. But I think we have to admit that it is part of a shared humanity. And that's fucking dangerous ground, you know. And it's not an argument against justice or response or righteousness. It's just a kind of refusal to see any other human being as a stranger to our species. There is a righteousness to the law, and there is a moral standard. But in the same way that dogs can't commit crimes against dogness, humans can't commit crimes against humanity. Maybe there's something about letting your wildness flow without being carried away by it. The Corrib River in Galway, as it enters the sea, is the most fantastic torrent of turbulence. And sitting by it, and just the unpredictable, uncontrollable, energized, defiant, natural tumbling of it, being beside that is a way of acknowledging the same energy inside in yourself. It's like the river is your brother. The river is you. Everything is an expression of the same being, which is why we respond to it. There is nothing alien in the world. Either internally or externally, all there is wonder and, on some sort of a pre-verbal level, recognition. There are no strangers here. Thank you very much for listening. See you next time. This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.